Can you have sex with a ghost? If cowboys ruled the Wild West, what did cowmen rule? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life. Hey, hello everyone, and welcome to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast where every week we investigate a brand new paranormal tale and come to a conclusion as to whether or not it is true or it is false. My name is Rory Powers. This guy's name is Kit Greer, and welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Doing great so far. Pretty enthralling ideas about what it might have been like living on the range, on the Wild West. Cowmen, not very documented in old movies.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it? It's like only talking about Charmander, never talking about Charizard.
Yeah.
You know, cowboys digivolved. Different show, now we're pivoting here. Digivolved into cowmen, but we never hear about them.
It's like watching Avatar, and then at the end of the movie, they reveal that the people of Avatar are ants to the alien gods that overlook their planet.
More movies should have ended like that. Not even sci-fi movies. Like Titanic, right at the end, should have zoomed out to show that was a life raft compared to the Titanic 2, which was basically a floating planet. I don't know why Hollywood isn't returning my emails to make these movies, because everyone loves a good twist.
The signature Rory Powers zoom out.
That's my Shyamalan twist, the zoom out. All right, well, welcome to the show. If you haven't listened before, what we like to do is, we're not one of those podcasts that likes to sit and chat and talk about our days. There's no time. There's no time, and no one gives a fuck. We're just going to get straight into the paranormal.
We tried it, and everyone hated on us in the comments. Everyone ragged on us. Stop listening. So we're breezing right through it.
Today, our investigation came from a listener. Well, two listeners specifically. They sent in an email to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. The email came from Devlin and Chloe, who both emailed in about a little movie called Antrim. Chloe wrote, "Hey, I was scrolling through my TikTok, and I came across someone talking about the movie Antrim. Apparently, if you watch it, you die within 24 hours. It's said that there are subliminal messages in it, like a chant that summons a demon that ends up killing you. There have been cases where people have died from freak accidents and seizures after watching the movie. I'm not sure if it's linked to the movie, but it is strange, and I know I won't be watching it. I thought it might be interesting, if not for an episode, then to simply look into it. Is it a curse? Or is it fake? Chloe and Devlin, you had my attention."
At TikTok.
You had me at TikTok. I immediately began my investigation into Antrim, the deadliest film ever made. Kind of like a lightning bolt or something in there would be dope.
Sure, you don't have to say it out loud because we throw sound effects in after the fact.
So. Have you ever heard of Antrim, the deadliest movie ever made? Another second lightning bolt in there if you could, please.
I have never. It is slightly confusing to me because Antrim is a place in Northern Ireland. I mean, I lived in that county for some time.
It's where my grandparents live.
So it's not spelled the same way.
No. This is Antrim, A-N-T-R-U-M.
Okay.
Not I-M.
Got it. It's like some sort of cocktail made out of both ants and rum.
For ants. Made with ants for ants. Ant rum.
That's disgusting. Cannibalism.
Yeah, usually it's, you know, made like by humans for humans. Not
true.
With humans.
Made of humans for sick sons of bitches humans. Is this a feature-length film?
It's kind of interesting. So Antrim, the movie itself, is a feature-length film, allegedly from around the 1970s. Antrim, the deadliest movie ever made, is a documentary about the movie that also includes the entire movie.
Interesting.
A little confusing, but hopefully we can clarify it as we move forward.
Okay, got it.
Now, legend has it that this movie, Antrim, is a cursed film project recorded in the 70s that caused the death of everyone who watched it, before it ended up missing.
This is the problem with the movie industry, guys, is that's how the box office sales work. Opening weekend, people pour into the cinema. It doesn't matter if they die because they've already paid for the ticket.
Exactly.
Everyone, millions of people died. It had a huge opening weekend.
Kind of like a roller coaster in that sense. You're already on the ride. It's dangerous, but you're not going anywhere.
You don't need to finish the roller coaster course. Because people have already paid for it. You just keep sending carts and carts of people off a cliff edge.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Fine. You've got their cash.
Because what's going to happen? Who are they going to warn to say it was a bad roller coaster? An angel?
This is such a bad, dark premise for like a holiday agency or whatever. It's like you, I don't know, you book like a cruise package to go to the Caribbean. You get on board, you're like... Funny, I don't see any life rafts, but I guess it's okay. I don't know, you're walking through the restaurant that night or whatever. It's like, funny, they only seem to have enough food and supplies to last a couple of days. I thought we were out here for a few weeks.
I go up to the top cabin. Captain, I think there might be something. I turn him around. It's just a stuffed mannequin. Oh! People are like, yeah, it's actually cheaper to just sell tickets for the boat and crash it into the rocks and feed and entertain the people on board. So what is the legend around Antrim? Well, according to the film itself, it all started back in 1979 when a strange movie called Antrim was submitted to a handful of film festivals. Now, no one had any idea who the directors were or where the movie had come from, but they watched it anyway. It was strange, disturbing, and not long after its submission, it was rejected from each festival it was sent to, with festival heads refusing to show it. A film expert later on went to describe it as, it was as if the devil had made a film.
Oh, Christ.
Which sounds pretty rock and roll, but I think it's more scary. It's more bad. Like, he's a pretty evil guy, but he doesn't
he's
have any qualifications to make
filmmaker.
Films. Yeah.
Yeah, you got the devil as the director, Hitler as the DOP, you've got Stalin as the... first AD. None of these people have any film experience.
That's first assistant demon, by the way, which means you're just causing ruckus and pain on set. Now, here's where the story really starts. Shortly after each rejection, the various festival directors died under suspicious circumstances.
Whoa.
Janet Hilberg died of a seizure, supposedly 24 hours after she watched the film. Tom Stylam of the Colorado Film Festival was fatally electrocuted in his own kitchen.
Holy moly.
And weirdest of all, while visiting the beach, film critic Joe Barringer slipped and fell on a poisonous stonefish.
What? Stonefish?
Yeah.
Oh my god. What an exotic way to die.
I think it's even incredibly rare that a stonefish washes up on the shores of
Germany.
Well, this is America.
Oh,
this is an
America.
American film festival. Still weird though.
There's something really funny to me about the idea of a cursed movie that still gets rejected from film festivals.
Yeah.
So it's not good. Even though the critics died after watching it, they still had time to reject the movie.
Yeah. There is something.
Couldn't the curse make people think it's awesome at least, so it gets to more people to see it?
Several years go by and the film is still lost, until 1988, when a copy mysteriously appears at a theater in Budapest. A small audience of about 60 gather in the theater to watch the movie, and during the screening, a fire erupted, burning the theater and everyone in it to the ground.
Holy moly.
Initially, the cause of the fire was allegedly a faulty projector which overheated and caught fire. But when the scene was investigated by the authorities, they made a horrible discovery. Konstantin Aztalos, the alleged chief of the arsons unit in Budapest at the time, said, "Fires in our theater typically start in the projection room. Because of the flammable nature..."
Hold up. Fires in our theater typically start. If you've had more than one fire, you don't get to run a movie theater. Thousands of people come to your theater and... I'm sorry, he's had so many fires that he's like, yeah, usually starting in there. Usually by the time we realize what's going on, yeah, a couple of theaters are burned to the ground.
Konstantin has been in this profession a long time. Sure, Budapest has the highest number of theater-based fires in more than any country in the world. But that doesn't say that...
It's nothing to do with Constantine. Nothing
exactly.
He's doing personally.
Because of the flammable nature of the film. But in our investigation, which included a unanimous decision by both firefighters and the forensic team, it showed that not one, but multiple fires had started, originating from within the audience.
What?
Kit, the audience had started the fire and burned themselves alive mid-screening.
Holy shit. That is some dark stuff right there.
They probably made it to the curse part.
Wow.
Unless it was that bad. They would rather die
than just simply leave the movie theater.
I've watched Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I'm so sorry.
I never even got close to igniting myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've never even walked out of a cinema. I've definitely thought about it, but I was definitely several steps away from self-immolating.
What's the closest you've ever got to walking out of a movie before?
Closest I ever got to walking out of a movie theater, Shawshank Redemption, 1995.
What?
I was pretty young, granted, but I took a couple of hours off playing Pokemon Red, which I think had come out around the same time, to go see critically acclaimed... bullshit critically acclaimed movie Shawshank Redemption.
I think it's widely regarded as one of the best movies of all time.
Dude, it was a snooze fest.
You mean a snooze fest?
I thought there was gonna be some awesome like prison fights. He was gonna turn into like a gangster, he was gonna like start a life of crime on the outside.
The Shawshank Redemption. It's about redeeming himself.
Well, I was like 7, so I didn't know what the word redemption meant. I thought he was gonna go Super Saiyan on those.
Super Saiyan
on those guys. Well, sure, Dragon Ball Z was also pretty popular around that time. I thought it was gonna be an action movie.
You were waiting for Andy Dufresne to go Super Saiyan in Shawshank.
And I thought Morgan Freeman was gonna train him up to be. He was gonna be the sensei.
I was so mad when this started, but now that sounds like the greatest film I've ever heard of. So yeah, I'm actually,
that would have been a better movie, right?
It's actually a pile of dog shit when you think about the original plot. Like, oh, I'm gonna tunnel out of prison. Oh,
I'm gonna crawl through poop.
Yeah,
you're a loser. You had to crawl through poop.
You think Goku ever crawled through a poop chute?
No, he flew straight out of the prison, smashed through the ceiling.
If you try and arrest Piccolo, you're gonna die. Let me say that right now. Piccolo doesn't go to prison.
There's no handcuffs that can constrain Piccolo.
Can hold back his thick Namekian wrists.
I have no idea what
I think two people are getting these jokes. All right, back to the film. After this, the film once again disappears into obscurity. It isn't until 1993 that the film reappears in California, USA. And fully knowing the grisly history behind it, they screened it at a local theater.
Irresponsible.
Everything was going fine, but during the film there was a turning point. The audience began to get restless, agitated. People started panicking and screaming, running for the exit doors, which were all inexplicably locked. 30 people were injured, and one woman was even trampled to death.
Holy moly, just trying to get out of the theater.
When the moviegoers were analyzed by doctors, they discovered that each one of them contained traces of LSD.
What?
It turns out that a concession stand worker dosed the butter for the popcorn with LSD, which was served to the audience before the film.
Interesting.
That's a bit of a dick move.
You don't dose people, okay?
Yeah, especially when you're pretty much guaranteeing they're gonna have a bad time watching the deadliest movie ever made.
Taking LSD is probably one of the most terrifying experiences to begin with, without being shown a cursed film.
You could put me in the playground of a McDonald's with LSD, surrounded by all my friends and a birthday cake.
That is your happy place.
And I would still probably see demons and try and strangle Ronald McDonald. If you put me in a theater with 30 other people,
I will trample Ronald to death. I will.
It's going to be a bad time. Everyone's going to have a bad time. But to lock the doors as well is extra mean.
But the interesting thing here is, if this is some kind of cursed movie, it doesn't have one avenue of attack, because if what they're inferring here is true, that the movie causes these crazy, weird, awful coincidences to happen, then the first time, sure, it set people on fire. The second time, it doses people with acid. There's no like rhyme or reason to what's going on here.
Yeah. Flash forward to 2018, 2 years ago, when two filmmakers were at an estate auction in Connecticut. Among the usual junk you'd find is something special. A 35mm film reel copy of Antrim. Now, people are smarter this time, Kit. They've learned. The legend around the film is well known. So instead of just slapping it in the VHS player and bringing around 30 of your friends in a bucket of LSD popcorn, filmmakers and film experts, and even scientists, decided to examine and study the film to see if they could discover anything about its origin. The copy of the film they had was shot on a regular 35mm reel, but something was off about it. Under closer examination, it looked like someone had tampered with their copy of the film. The reel had been interspliced with what looked like a snuff film and had disorientating sounds and strange imagery that looked like it could have been added by a third party. With that in mind, filmmakers set out to produce a documentary about Antrim, which concludes with a full viewing of the movie in its entirety for the first time in 20 years.
Wow.
And that is what Antrim, the deadliest movie of all time, is.
Okay. So they've kind of packaged it all together with all the context you could possibly need.
Yeah. I think it is unbelievable that, you know, it was finally discovered by professional filmmakers who got scientists involved to study the reel and make an informed documentary about what this film does, and then end it by showing the entire film to everyone that's watching it.
It almost went completely right, because if they had found it, researched it, and then destroyed it,
yeah,
the world would be safe.
It is literally like the captain of the Titanic spotting the iceberg from very far away, but then going, you know what? I'm going to see if I can Tokyo drift around this bitch, and crashing headfirst into it. You had all of the foresight and all of the knowledge to avoid the situation, and yet you plowed straight into it.
This is like the movie Gremlins, but instead of Gizmo falling into the hands of like an antique dealer in Chinatown, he falls into the hands of like a veterinary scientist and researcher who researches Gizmo, but then still proceeds to sell him to a random guy in the street without any guidance, and the gremlins take over the world.
Yeah. The scientist knows from examining the body that you shouldn't get him wet, and then proceeds to dunk him like a basketball into his swimming pool. I think it's obviously that people just can't help themselves.
Right.
I think that's what it is. It's like...
Which is interesting. That could be like part of the curse.
Yeah. It's like The Ring, but not the movie The Ring. Like The Ring in Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
You can't. It's calling to you. Yeah. It's saying your name. It's calling you closer like a bag of shredded cheese in the night. You're just drawn to it. Now, to be fair to the scientists, before the movie begins, they do have, and I don't think I've ever seen this before, a legal disclaimer.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that in a movie before.
It says, by continuing to watch this film, you agree that the producers of this film have made you aware of the history and dangers associated with Antrim. The producers, distributors, cast, crew, unions, and the theater management on all levels are released of any liability for any event that occurs to you during or after your screening, including but not limited to illness, injury, mortal danger, or death. If you disagree in any way with this notice, you must leave the theater now.
Yeah, get up and leave.
Yeah.
That's the move, I think.
So fair enough to them that they have put the disclaimer in to kind of warn people off before they want to watch this thing.
You got to be a real psycho to keep going at that point.
Yeah. Now, without too many spoilers, in case people do want to watch this movie themselves, we haven't actually talked about what the movie Antrim is about. We do have a brief synopsis from the people who have watched it and survived.
Sure.
The movie Antrim is about two siblings called Aurelie and Nathan. In the film, their beloved pet dog, Maxine, is recently euthanized. And when Nathan asked their mother if the dog went to heaven, their mother says because he was a bad dog, Maxine has gone to hell. Which is, I mean, that's got to be a pretty bad dog.
Yeah.
Because even bad dogs are still kind of, I think, good dogs that maybe do a bad thing, like bite someone they weren't supposed to.
Yeah.
But they don't know any better because they're a dog.
They're, a bad dog is usually like, yeah, like a rescue who's been abused or something.
Yeah.
There aren't any like evil dogs.
You'd have to, it would have, the dog would have to be borderline selling crack and I don't know what else. How can a dog be evil?
Dogs don't, they're not even like cats. Cats will go out and like torture like a little mouse and like
bat
play
it
with
around,
it.
Yeah.
Tear its head off. Dogs don't even do that.
Yeah, this
cats have the real serial killer energy about them.
The film follows the two siblings as they try to dig a hole to hell and rescue their dog.
Wow.
Pretty intense stuff.
That's why you shouldn't lie to your kids, guys, because they will take that shit literally.
Just say that we killed the dog. The dog, well, euthanize the dog. I haven't seen the movie. I assume the dog is sick or something. Now, with a case like this, we can learn about the history of the movie. We can watch the documentaries, but we're not going to know what this film is truly about or what it does to people who watch it unless we sit down and watch it ourselves.
I thought you said this movie kills those who watch it.
It does. Right. It absolutely does. Well, allegedly it does.
Okay. But I mean, you have up to now for the last 30 minutes, you've kind of provided a bunch of evidence for times that it has murdered
freak
people.
Accidents, yeah, that have happened like over the last couple of years. But as paranormal investigators, it's our responsibility to defend the public from the paranormal, even if that means sitting back on a couch with an ice cold beer and sure, maybe a little LSD popcorn.
Sure, and I will light a few candles and I will bolt the doors and lock away the key.
Of course, and we're having stonefish for dinner, right? You're cooking stonefish?
Yeah, and I don't have a clue how to prepare it.
I don't even know if they're edible. I think they're like a Goron snack. You basically have to smash them into pebbles. I think it's only fair that we sit down and watch this ourselves.
Couldn't agree more.
So what we're going to do is we're going to break right now on the podcast, watch Antrim, and we'll be back very shortly with our conclusions.
We think.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say if we don't come back, then we're dead.
It's a double yes.
But this podcast won't even be posted. So
I guess like the London Metropolitan Police who are investigating this, our deaths. Hey, remember to subscribe, check out the Patreon.
All right, we're going to go watch Antrim and we'll be back very soon.
Let's go.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's Amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ooh, all right, we are just back after watching Antrim, the most deadly movie ever made from start to finish. How are you feeling, Kit?
Pretty interesting watch, I will say.
Okay.
I guess it was pretty much what I was expecting. Like, the movie itself, the content of the actual film, Antrim, we're talking grainy, old 70s horror movie vibes.
It's got the cliche horror kid. How would you even describe that kid?
Like Damien from The Exorcist or whatever movie he's in. Just like that little thousand-yard stare creepy kid that can see things that mortals can't.
Kind of like if Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory could see demons.
Yeah. And like you don't know, like, you know, he's staring into the wilderness and you don't know if he's thinking of like, you know, bunny rabbits and like his dog, no spoilers, or if he's thinking of like murdering everyone.
Yeah, if he's literally seeing the devil. Yeah, that was a weird movie.
Yeah.
That was super weird. Because as we said, the movie starts with kind of like a description of the lore and the history behind it. And it's a very well shot, I guess, mockumentary about the history of this film, which is great. Super well produced, really buys into the whole theme. Then after the disclaimer, you know, you've got your credits in a foreign language. I didn't even know what language it was. Kind of like the weird detuned music and strange audio. But then it also has to just be a horror film on top of already what you know.
I guess that was something we didn't necessarily know going in. This could have been a cursed movie of any genre.
Yeah.
It could have been a cursed comedy, a cursed romantic chick flick.
Yeah.
But it was actually a cursed horror movie.
Which makes sense.
Yes.
And we did see a little bit of the earlier mentioned splicing.
We did. There was more than a little splicing going on.
The splicing got a little heavy-handed towards the end.
It did.
You know, to start off, it was like a flash. Maybe
like,
a tiny little...
What was that?
A little symbol. But before even you're like, is that a little... It's gone.
It's gone.
By the end, it was like cutting to a different film.
Yes.
For large portions. I could see why, you know, if they had found this footage, they would be like, hey, was this supposed to be in the film from the original creators? Or was this like the weird work of a maniac that found the footage? It's hard to tell. It's hard because it's horror, you know, so it's supposed to be weird.
If a horror movie is made in 2020 and it intersplices scary images... That's not a new technique.
That's bad. That's modern day cinema right there.
Exactly. It's awesome. I mean, I actually watched recently, I don't know if you've seen that science fiction movie Sunshine with Chris Evans, Cillian Murphy.
No, I haven't. I have. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, awesome. I only watched it recently, but something that really, really like shook me watching it is whenever they're walking through the abandoned space station. And if you might remember, for absolute split seconds, the entire screen glitches out with the faces of the deceased crew members, like their portraits. And I was like, wow, I mean, this is like really unsettling stuff. So it's a super modern technique, which you probably wouldn't find in a real 70s horror movie.
Yeah.
So it feels unusual. It's like, okay, this is kind of cool horror technique, but
did get that copy at an estate sale in Connecticut, though.
Right. And
so I don't think that
I did watch it with a bunch of friends, and they all did kick the bucket.
Watching Sunshine.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like pentagrams and stuff that flashed up in your version of the movie. And because you were telling me about it.
I reviewed it. Yeah. I posted on my blog, on my film blog. I reviewed it, and everyone said, what movie did you watch? Because we didn't remember any of that.
Because at the start I was like, yeah, it's an awesome sci-fi movie, you know, with such a cool concept. And you were like, yeah, I mean, it was a bit weird that scene at the end where it was just 25 minutes of the devil spanking a bear man's ass over a boiling pot of oil.
I wondered why they didn't use all those amazing cast members, you know, why they didn't round off the movie with them.
Yeah, the credits just rolled on top of the devil spanking, which was super weird in the end. Pretty dark for a film called Sunshine. But funny enough, you know, this isn't the first time that we've talked about cursed movies on the podcast before. We once investigated, in a bonus episode, I believe, The Wizard of Oz and the legends surrounding it, because a lot of people believe that it in itself is a cursed movie. But even that isn't the only one. We also mentioned The Poltergeist, a movie that is widely believed to be cursed because during the period of the three films, four of the main actors died.
It's not a good ratio.
Stop
making movies.
A lot of people believe that the curse is due to the fact that the producers used real skeletons while filming.
Yeah. That'll do it.
The magic of Hollywood exists for a reason, folks. It exists so that you don't have to use real skeletons.
That's exactly right. You know, Air Bud, they didn't have to teach a dog, a golden retriever, to play basketball at an NBA level.
Of course, because of the magic of cinema.
Of cinema in Hollywood.
Could you imagine the meeting where they're working on the film adaptation of Lord of the Rings, and someone's like, thanks everyone for coming to the meeting. We're going to be talking about the script and some of the storyboards moving forward. So, Carl, where are we in casting?
Well, hey everyone, really excited to be on this project. It's going extremely well. We've been casting globally. We're trying to get A lot of different diversity in the film. We've got some fantastic British actors who are signing up to do some of the more regional Hobbit characters and to be some of the elves and dwarves.
Fantastic.
But it's an ongoing process and we're open to any and all input.
Margaret, where are we with locations now? New Zealand, I believe, was being floated about at one point. Are we coming down on New Zealand?
Absolutely. I think New Zealand has the most promise because it just has such a variety of coastline and backdrops and incredible for some of those mountainous scenes, which we know are going to be really challenging for everyone.
Of course, of course.
It's just an abundance of those.
And Chris, where are we with hair and makeup and the extras? Well, we're pretty far into the research now. Diving back into the darker realms of alchemy, we have been able to genuinely create an orc man using the blood of pigs and the moonlight from a fresh star to kind of harvest the energy to summon an army of pure filth.
Chris, wow. I mean, Dwayne, in your team, I think he's actually been working on some kind of prosthetics and makeup.
We're calling that plan B for now, because I really think, mm-hmm. you know, there are some production costs starting the creation of an orc army,
right.
But we're really going to see the rewards in terms of savings when it comes to not being required to hire any extras for the scene.
Right. I mean, the VFX guys, they can pretty much copy paste. You know, if we get a couple of guys in makeup and outfits, they can copy paste across 10,000
orcs. As of 10:30 this morning, the orcs have barricaded themselves in the VFX section of the studio.
I'm sorry, Chris. I thought you said you were making headway with getting these orcs, but now it sounds like the orcs have taken control of the studio.
I called this meeting because I need to slow things down. The orc situation has become a priority. They outnumber us 10-1, and very few of them care whether this film gets made or not.
I gotta be honest, Chris. We're 50-50 on whether there is even an orc battle at all. So we don't need you blowing the whole goddamn budget on making some sort of orc city, which sounds like it's actually threatening all of our lives.
If you'll check the folders I'm sliding in front of you, I have revised the script. Frodo himself is now a baby orc. Gandalf, an orc. Aragorn, Orcagorn. I don't know how to end this.
I think Orcagorn was the ending.
We also talked about the movie The Crow, where the lead actor Brandon Lee believed that he was already cursed even before he started shooting the film because he said,
well, that's not a cursed movie. That's just a cursed human.
The movie became cursed by association.
If Brandon Lee makes a sandwich, it's a cursed sandwich.
It oozes everywhere. Yeah, it just leaks out of him like a nuclear power plant. He believes he was cursed, and I remember this, because he said his grandfather angered an old businessman who was in the business of curses.
It stands to reason. It does.
During the filming of The Crow, Brandon was shot and killed when a prop gun accidentally fired a bullet fragment.
Wow.
Yeah. And finally, we have The Exorcist.
Of course.
On this set, one of the actresses said she experienced incredible anxiety out of nowhere. There was also strange electrical problems, and a lead actor died a few days after filming was finished.
People wonder, you know, for those A-list actors, once they're over the hill, how come they make such shitty movie decisions, you know?
Yeah.
The Robert De Niro's, Al Pacino's of this world, why do they end up doing shitty comedy after shitty comedy? The truth is because they're safe and they're fun. You're not endangering anyone's life.
Do you even think that there was a health and safety officer on the set of Paul Blart Mall Cop? Of course there wasn't. That movie is like baby-proof.
At most, it was for him riding a Segway or something.
In case like someone got a twisted ankle or something.
As bad as it got.
But then, yeah, on the flip side, you've got those immortal actors like Tom Cruise, who's like, I'm gonna jump out of a building. I'm gonna get punched in the face. Punch me for real. I'm gonna put bullets in the prop guns just to feel alive.
It's not enough to be Spider-Man. I need a nuclear spider to bite me.
Which is the flip side, because his grandfather never disrespected an ancient curse man. But of course, today, Kit, we're not here to talk about any of these movies. We're here to talk about Antrim.
Sure.
And as the dedicated paranormal investigators we are, we watched the film. We just finished watching it about 30 minutes ago.
It's early days.
Some of
we
these
could still have rejected it for our film festival.
I haven't gone to a beach yet. There's no stonefish within 500 yards of me.
It's true.
It might be tomorrow that we pass away. It could be next week. Could be in 80 years of old age. We don't know if that's the work of the curse. But we do have, we don't have 80 years. We have to come down on a conclusion now. So Kit, do you believe that the movie Antrim, the deadliest movie ever made, is truly cursed?
Rory, I don't believe it's cursed. Because whilst the film had a ton of really good, solid horror elements, really unnerving sides to it, and indeed the documentary portion at the beginning of this feature film we just watched, it painted a pretty cool, believable picture about how this film might have been cursed. I did get a sense towards the end that what we were watching was more a kind of cool meta modern film experiment about getting the people's attention with this story of a curse, rather than something actually from the 70s that killed a bunch of people along the way. I guess what I'm saying is I'm questioning the veracity of it all.
I think that's fair. I think, you know, if you do any more research on the film and its history, you will pretty soon discover that the entire thing was made in the last couple of years. And sure, they do create this cool backstory behind it about the film disappearing for huge portions of time, it killing anyone when it turns up. The film now in the US is available on Amazon Prime.
Okay, cool.
And I guess enough people have survived watching it that there are reviews written. Which
Again,
would lead me to
they
believe.
They might have written the reviews and then kicked the
it's
bucket.
It's true. It's true. So I think it's safe enough to assume that Antrim, the deadliest movie ever made, is a very interesting concept and a very cool movie. But when it comes down to real life curses and the real world paranormal, this just isn't it. But would I encourage people to watch it? Maybe. I don't know.
It's definitely not a resounding yes.
Yeah.
I think this is a little bit of we watched it, so you might not have to.
Yeah. It's kind of weird because on the one hand, like, we could go on to just say what happens in the movie, but we also don't really want to because I don't want to spoil it for anyone that does want to watch it.
You know, if you and your friends, you're into this kind of stuff,
yeah,
into kind of weird internet creepypasta, don't know if it's real or not, things, this could be a really fun evening.
I'd say so, yeah, because it treads the line so closely between like being a genuinely cool innovative thing and also being just like a really bad B movie,
yeah,
like horror flick, like
but,
super
but
trashy.
If you're just on your own and you're trying to do some hardcore investigation, or you know, you just want to die with a curse, you might be disappointed.
Yeah, if you just want to die in a paranormal blaze of glory, this isn't going to be the way to do it. I don't think so.
No, we cover one method a week, and this isn't it.
So unfortunately, it's going to be a double no from us this week. But hey, that was a little bit of a weird one this week, but I think it was a fun one. You know, we're being current and fresh, getting our paranormal info from TikTok. I love it. Thank you so much to Chloe and Devlin for both emailing in that suggestion to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com.
Arigato gozaimasu.
And if you enjoyed this week's podcast or any of the podcasts and you want to give us a little extra support, you can head on over to a little website called patreon.com/thisparanormallife.
Oh yeah.
Guys, this is where it's all at. This is the deadliest Patreon ever made, all right? Because on the $7 tier, you get knives. On the $10 tier, you get forks. Still dangerous. Everyone thinks knives are pretty dangerous, but forks are just four little knives.
Yeah, it's like four for the price of fun.
Of course, along with all of that, you can get bonus episodes of the show. I should probably talk about them because they're, you know, they're more important than knives.
I gotta say, a lot more people want bonus episodes than knives.
Than knives. We can't give them away, literally. I think it's illegal. So check that out on patreon.com, because at the $5 tier, you can get bonus episodes. And at the $20 tier, you can get your very own merchandise. This Paranormal Life t-shirts, my friend. And I'll be honest, sure, we need the money. It's not easy to try and reboot the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy using orcs.
Using real orcs.
They cost.
Should have been done the first time around. They had the budget and they pussied out.
I want the movie, the journey of the trilogy, to go from Mordor to Mordor. None of this Hobbiton shit. None of this little elf forest. I want to start in Mordor and end in Mordor.
That's the real story that wasn't told.
And, you know, if we were just making another version of it, Orlando Bloom, he costs pennies and he's pretty much free 24/7. But Orlando Bloom, that supermodel orc with the luscious blonde locks, he costs the big bucks, guys. He costs a lot of money. So if you could head on over to patreon.com, pledge some support, and we can get this project off the ground.
And before we forget, longtime listeners to This Paranormal Life will remember that me and Rory don't just make podcasts together, but we also make music. We actually have a band called Team RKT. We've premiered music on this podcast before, and I'm excited to say that's what we're going to do today. We're going to play out this episode with our brand new single, Cities, which is out this week on all streaming platforms. We really hope you enjoy it. If you do, make sure and follow us on Spotify. There is a video we're really proud of, an amazing music video that's over on YouTube. If you check out Cities by Team RKT, you can find it there. And you can get links to streaming at teamrkt.com. We will be back on Tuesday, as always, with a brand new paranormal tale. And we will pick up Patreon shoutouts then too. In the meantime, remember to live fast, investigate, and die young.
I'll never see as we lay under skies and the galaxies, and this world has changed but still the same aim. And people, if they were here today, would tell her that tomorrow's like yesterday, and that dreams, they never seem to fade. But when I'm breaking down her again, she's scared I'll get too close, and though she's never on her own, she always feels alone. But when I'm breaking down her walls again, she's scared I'll get too close, and though she's never on her own, she always feels alone. Where we both reside, and these years have passed us in a day. And walking through these empty streets, she's smiling at the world that she always sees, and that time could never take away. But when I'm breaking down her walls again, she's scared I'll get too close. She's never on her own. She always feels alone.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Breaking down. super close. And though she's never on her own, she always feels alone. And when I'm breaking down her walls again, she's scared I'll get too close. And though she's never